suit.
Luke chapter 2.
Heard you had a good Bible study yesterday.
What?
I heard Bible study was good yesterday. Good. You talked about the wisdom of the world.
I guess. And the child grew and waxed strong, verse 40, in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. We spent a lot of time talking about wisdom. The child grew is, I don't remember the word, but it just means the child grew up, just like. But I want us to talk about this different stages of a child. In Greek, there are four stages that are talked about. In Hebrew, there's at least eight different stages of a child. And that stage, and the meaning of the word for each of those stages that we just talk about as a child, is critical to our understanding of the mystery of God. So let's first go to 1 John 2. No. First go to Proverbs.
I've now written this down.
Proverbs, I think, 22. Everybody there? Ronnie, you're really slow.
Yeah.
We had a Ronnie twin here yesterday. I'm serious. I thought when I came out and saw that guy, I thought he was Ronnie working in the backyard, and that just didn't compute.
That guy was too fat.
No. He's from Ethiopia, and his name is Dawi, and he's really a neat guy. But they had exactly the same profile. But Dawi was really working hard. And it just didn't compute in my mind. But anyway, be sure you meet Dowie, and he's Ronnie's twin.
He looks nothing like me.
A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward or the proud. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, or it's better translated, in the latter days, he will not depart from it. Now, people use this all the time to justify intense teaching of children, but it doesn't mean that at all. It's train up the child, the one child, Jesus Christ, in the way he should go, and in the latter days, he will not depart from it. In you, your path is assured. It's more sure than the rising of the sun. If you can only abandon yourself, if you can only empty yourself and disown yourself, then that mystery of God is a sure thing. It's a sure bet. Amen. So the word child there is the seventh stage is in the Hebrew child. It's the one that has shaken himself free. And that, literally, that's what it means. And it means that he has it's more than he's seen himself as an independent. It's that he has, don't know. I mean, I'll try to explain it later. I don't even know how to explain
it.
Right.
Coming,
no, it's sort of, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. We'll get there. Let's go to 1 John now. Chapter 2. Verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Now, that stage, spiritual stage, is a believer that's still in the world. The only thing he knows is his sins are forgiven. He's still a believer. Okay? And again, the word, well, I don't want to go there. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him. That, note that that is not in the text. It's in italics. Look at your Bible. If you're there, that is in italics. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. That's a big difference. The real you has known him, the Father, from the beginning. So he's writing on to, and again, it's not you learning, it's you. It's in the Old Testament, as the child grew and waxed strong. In the New Testament, it's you unlearning. And these are the stages of unlearning. If you're still in the world, your sin is forgiven. You're hiding under the door, or I mean the blood of the Passover. All right. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And you notice the interesting thing to me about this series of scriptures, it goes from darling infant to fathers to young men back to, and that's just the same way that you go. I mean, you may be in a father position for a minute and then you revert and instantly back, some stimulus happens and you just become this ridiculous idiot hiding in the under the blood somewhere. Amen? I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And who is the wicked one? You. I write unto you, little children. And that's the word there, it's paidon. It means a teenager. I write unto you, little children, because you've known the Father. When you're in that stage, and some of you know this very well, some of you may be still in it, the only thing that keeps you, Bible study doesn't help, fellowship doesn't help, prayer doesn't help, nothing helps, but there's an anchor that you know the Father. You have known the Father. Amen? I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you overcome the wicked one. So those four stages are really the darling infant, the teenager, the young adult, and the father. Now spiritually, you got to understand this. Spiritually, the only ones that can reproduce are the people that are in the father position. If you try to reproduce, you know, that's why all the testimony of new believers is so sweet. No, it's not. It's bullshit. Because it's always based on lies. It's only the tested testimony from the father position that can reproduce. All these things about, well, let's go have an evangelistic campaign and everybody go knock on their doors or whatever. The only thing you'll reproduce is somebody else like you, which is probably not too wise. What are you laughing at? All right, so those are the four positions. The darling infant, the teenager, the young adult, and the father. The young adult is really good because you've overcome the wicked one, but you haven't been yet fully tested. The father has been fully tested, and he finds out, my God, I've been with him from the beginning. It was me in Cain who killed Abel. It was me in Nimrod who chased Abraham out of the... It was me as the Pharaoh who wanted to kill all the children. It was me as Herod who killed all the infants. It was me as the high priest who crucified Christ. And then you can see your evil. And then you can finally be free. Anybody have any response to any of this? What? True. Mr. Rutledge? No additions. I'm not that good of a teacher. Somebody must have some questions about all that. Something must have transpired. What, Gary?
Two things, actually. The evil you just spoke of, in every case, was maximum evil, like killing all the children. And that's the last thing you want to identify with. But if you don't get to that point, you can't see the other one. So you're playing in the middle, thinking you're okay. And I would never do that. That's not me. That's not my nature.
No, I think I'm a good guy.
I'm a cool dude and all that.
How good? You see, did you hear that, Jeff? Huh? All right, so now we're going to go.
One other thing, though, that when we talked earlier about first you learn everything that you can, and then you unlearn everything. But the first time you learn it, you're always taking it to the flesh. And it's the same words, all the good wisdom, all that stuff, but the young man or whatever always thinks, oh, this is me, learning all the great stuff. But then when you come to that point, you can't take it to yourself because it's...
Well, it doesn't work.
Yeah. And thank God it doesn't.
Well, but because it doesn't work, what happens is you create a whole church full of angels of light who are masquerading the internal activities within them is so evil, it's beyond comprehension.
But they have a huge support group that they're all saying the same thing while inside they're doing something else outside.
Well, I'm not worried about them too much. I'm worried about what's going on in here.
I'll talk about here.
Okay. All right. Now let's go look at these stages of the Jewish words. All right, let's go to Isaiah. We're going to spend some time in Isaiah. Isaiah 9. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now unto us a child is born. The child there, the newborn babe, is Ben. B-E-N. And that's why when you always, you know, Jesus was identified as Jesus, Yeshua, Ben, Joseph. That's how he would have been identified. And you always see Ben David or Ben this or Ben that. Well, that, it talks that Ben is the newborn babe. All right. Next is Oh, yeah, it's the same verse. For unto us a son is given. The son is is Yeled. And that's the suckling child still. It's the newborn babe and then the suckling child. And then there's the next is the suckling beginning to want food or ask for food or however. Did you know H.L. Hunt, the great, some of you know this, H.L. Hunt wasn't weaned from his mother until he was 8 years old.
Good friend.
Hmm?
Good friend. That's gross.
That's gross.
Well, it's probably normal in some places. Where that place is, I don't know.
I don't either.
Not in America.
Anyway, the next one, the suckling child, they're starting to give him food, is Isaiah 11. Well, let's look. Let's start in verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked one. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and this leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Now the little child there, no, that's not the one we want. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child, that the word there is the word for the suckling that's beginning to ask for food. It's Yanek, Y-A-N-A-K. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child, which is Gamel, which we'll look at next, the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Now, you know what a cockatrice is?
Yeah. Sounds dangerous. Some kind of chicken?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
That's why people like the word firmament. They think it must mean the earth because it's got firm in it. The cockatrice is one of the most poisonous snakes in the world. It's the adder. Now, what? You're mixing your metaphors. All right. Let's look at another one.
You
for the.
You said all that to say what? What
are we, I'm just telling you which words are used. These different words are used
for the same thing.
That one, the suckling child that's beginning to ask for food, is 8. The suckling child shall play in the hole of the asp. The weaned child is Gamel. It means he's weaned from the breast. He eats only solid food. And he shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not. Well, anyway, the purpose here isn't to tell you the meaning of what that scripture says. The purpose here is to see the different words that are used. The 8 or 9 different words that are used to describe the development of a child.
Okay.
All right? So let's look at another of the suckling child. Go to Isaiah 28. I mean, this is not the, this is the weaned child, I'm sorry.
Isaiah 28.
Verse 8. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Now, what does that mean? We're going to talk a little about this one because it's important. Just about everything that man knows is vomit. It's regurgitated stuff that somebody else had eaten and then you learned it or you ate it. Do you understand what that means? All tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so there's no place clean. Most of the different ways of speaking and idioms and all that, we've stolen from somebody else. And so we steal our way of speaking. And we learn, what we think is learning is eating vomit.
It's like when people used to repeat your cliches.
Oh, that you know how that made me feel. Anyway, do you understand this? Why there's no place clean? Well, you can't trust what you've learned because you've eaten vomit. It was just regurgitated information from somebody else. All right. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Now that is this word, gamel. So... But spiritually, the weaned child is you're no longer, in the metaphor, you're no longer eating the vomit of somebody else. You can't learn anything. All you can do is repent. The preaching of the cross causes you to repent from everything. So you have, the weaned child is critical here because you've learned not that everything you've learned was vomit. All the nice ways of behaving, all your ladylike or gentlemanlike activities, all the societal norms that make you acceptable, they're all vomit. Now, unfortunately, most of what goes on in the name of religion is teaching vomit, teaching you to eat more vomit. If you look at these commentaries on religion, my God, don't worry about commentaries, just go watch religious television. Somebody says something that makes them get a bunch of money. Well, then pretty soon everybody else is saying the same thing. They're stealing the words, but the words they're stealing somebody's vomit. This is critical, because otherwise you'll keep thinking that your mind has some worth. What, Gary? You don't like this, I can tell.
No, I'm just getting crazy imagery.
Would you do me a favor, Sue? Would you sort of turn your chair and move in so I can see your little friend's face back here? He was hiding behind you.
Oh, he usually does, but that's all right.
No, just it's like seeing a televangelist with a bucket of vomit and just throwing it out.
Oh, thank you for that one.
Okay, but stop a minute. Don't forget the televangelist. Let's look at about it in here.
Does it hit the three races, one of the three races? Because that's what I keep thinking about right now when we're talking about stuff like this.
Well, it hits all of them.
When you go,
but it hit in Abraham. It didn't hit him until he was 100 years old.
Right. Well, for each of those three.
Right. Know. Abraham was the grace of learning, or the grace of saying, "I don't want to do that." Yeah, sure. He finally got to a point. He spent his life. I don't want to do that anymore.
Right.
At the end, he saw God.
Right.
That's when he became weaned
like
from
you
the
said
breast.
At the beginning, today, we're always at those going back and forth from all of those.
Right, but God says you don't want to keep going back and forth.
Right.
You don't want to eat vomit anymore.
Right. Yeah. But a young child, that's how they grow up starting. So it's milk at that point. But once they get of age and they try and go to another place, to go back and regurgitate the old stuff is
right. Dumb. All right. Now let's look at the one that's clinging, he's weaned, but still clinging to his mother. Go to Jeremiah 40.
You know, that's, I just thinking that's even, this can become vomit if you're just a scripture reciter.
Of course. That's why this is words about the word. It isn't the word of God. Jesus Christ is the word of God. But if you have, once you open your eyes, then everything is words about the word.
I suspect if you don't pick up the cross, all you pretty much can do is
eat vomit.
Spew vomit.
Well, I tell you what, this bothers me. No, Sue, it's not your fault. This table got moved in so that it gave Gary a hiding place.
You should be sitting over here where I am. Well, you wouldn't be able to see him. I can see everybody.
What did he say?
I'm not retarded. I saw exactly what you
What did he say?
Nothing. He moved.
Jeremiah 40.
40? 40?
Or
well, this one, I should have gotten a better one. Where it says, the son of Ahikam, the governor, the son was just, he was, it meant.
What verse is that?
It's verse 7. It's the word is Taph, T-A-P-H. That's not a good one. I should have found a better example.
We're all disappointed.
I know. Forgive me. The next one is the word Alma, A-L-M-A. And this one is interesting for other reasons, but let's go to Isaiah 7.
This one, the son of Ahikam, that was Alma, or is this
better? No, that was Taph, T-A-P-H. The one we're studying now is Alma.
Where are we going? I just lost completely.
It was Isaiah 7. Verse 13. And he said, "Hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to be weary, men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now the word for virgin there is the word Alma, which means virgin, but it means a virgin that's capable of having a child. I mean,
old enough to
have a child. But it literally means firm and strong, or firm and have efficacy or ability. So anyway, there's other words with it. I hope this gives you, if you want to go search all this stuff out and find better examples than I did. Now in verse, the next one is, he that shakes himself free, and that's one we looked at in Proverbs 22, is Na'er, and it means train up a child in the way he shall go. Let's look at another one of that. We're at 1 Samuel 12. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel. Now, again, the idea of shaking yourself free well, let's look and see. Now, but the problem is I didn't get another good example except for train up a child. But this one is in 1 Samuel 12. And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto you, unto your voice, and all that you have said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Now, the word childhood there is the word Nahur, N-A-U-R. And it means this one who has shaken himself free from the influences of, I guess, the time period that you're in. And so he has walked before God and not before men from the days of his childhood. Okay. Then the last one is it literally means the ripened one. Let's go to Isaiah 31. It also means ripened one, but it was also those who are eligible for military service. So it's like the draft age here. All right, let's go to
Isaiah 31.
Yeah. Let's just read it, starting verse 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay or rely on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Now, again, for us, it's woe unto you who go back to Egypt, who go back to the world system, for anything. Includes going back to Babylon, going back to cause and effect, going back to any aspect of the world system, and not this 100% dependency on the Father. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is holpen shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. Now, do you remember that when Israel was in the right place with God, horses were forbidden? Why? Because the horse represented the strength, the speed, the whatever. Have you ever thought, just think about all the things that have been invented. Just think, the last few years. Doesn't matter whether it's cell phones or computers or iPads or whatever those all those other little things. They were supposed to set us free. That was their. That's how they were sold. They were gave you freedom, but actually they put everybody in bondage. The same is true all the way back. It doesn't matter whether it's electricity or air conditioning or cars. It fundamentally, everything that we have invented since the day of Christ has put us more and more in bondage. And in relationship to this simplicity that is in Christ. That's why this mystery of God is so now it's the subtlety is beyond belief. Because, and I mean, I told you before, I long for the day, I would want the day where they would cut off my hand if I named the name of Christ or killed me. That simplicity, that was the structure of the bride. Now, the subtlety is the subtlety of the cosmetic of the bride. And it's really the most difficult time in history to be a believer. Because you have to discount all these apparent gimmicks and things so that you continue to live in 100% dependency.
And you have constant new distractions.
Yeah, they dress it. They dress it in a new outfit.
Oh, yeah, whether it's television or radio or movies.
Every idea,
They just put you in bondage. Yeah. And they... they cause you to feed on more and more and more and more vomit. No wonder people are starving. In that metaphor, they're eating vomit. In the snake metaphor, they're eating dust. And it doesn't, there's no nourishment. The same thing is true with all the vomit that people are eating now. Anyway, we're not where we were going. Where'd we stop? Now in verse 4. For thus saith the Lord, spoken unto me, like us, the lion and the young lions, roaring on his prey. When a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for the for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. That's what you have to know that. You don't have to worry about anything else. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending all, he also will deliver it, and passing over the hill, preserve it. Turn you unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men, his warriors, shall be discomfited. And he will pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and his furnace in Jerusalem. Now, the point of this is that the ripened one, the warrior, the strong warrior, the ones that defend, they also just fall because they've relied on everything else except God. And you've got to examine your own life and see where are the places that you're relying on cause and effect or relying on the system of the world for sustenance as opposed to God. Anyway, forgive me for not giving some better examples for all this, but it's kind of hard to do if you don't speak the language.
This was like military age?
Yeah. That was the Bakhur, B-A-K-H-U-R, so it's the Isaiah 31:8. But it's not just of military age, it's the ones that have been trained, of the warrior. All right? Yeah. Any response to any of this? Jesus enters Jerusalem for the first time. Hopefully tomorrow. We'll study that. Take it, big guy.
The idea that you were talking about what's his name, Hunt, you know, is the perfect picture of what all this is about. You're in the wrong, you're in some weird stage you're supposed to be over here
right.
else, and it's odd. It's worse than odd. It's creepy.
All tables are full of vomit, so there's no place clean.